All right, folks, welcome back, and I'm really happy to have back on the program. Friend of mine, he's a businessman, investor, entrepreneur, educator, and machinist. Should I put that title on you now, too, Bruce? You are?
Pretend machinist.
You're getting there, and we got a video coming up here, and for audio that we'll explain as well. Bruce Sidlinger, welcome back to the program. How's life treating you?
Life's treating me good, and you know, we have so much to cover today, we got to go really fast, and I can only give you 3 hours this time.
That's okay. We'll try to get it done in that amount of time. And Bruce and I were already, you know, we talk offline a lot, and there's so much going on. And as I was talking about, we've got Bruce, I don't know. I'll get your take on it. Is it censorship, or is it businesses doing whatever they want? Is it collusion? And I'm talking about this past weekend. You know, you had President Trump. He was ousted off of Twitter, Facebook, I believe, Instagram. But then what's going on with Parler? And Parler was deplatformed basically on Apple and on Google. And then Amazon comes along to top it off and says, hey, by the way, get off our servers. You got, you know, 24 hours. Your thoughts on what's going on?
Right. So it's an interesting question, because if we were in a pure free market economy, then I would support any service provider's right to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
However, when I promote, you know, I'm a capitalist. What's my other term?
Free.
I'm a constitutional capitalist libertarian, mm-hmm. right? And so when I talk about the free hand and classic economics, I always say the free hand works except for trust, because there you occasionally have to intervene in the market. And the perfect example is, if you didn't have any trust restrictions, then a company would just go into a town, sell at a ridiculous loss, wipe out all the competition, and then they would have a monopoly position, and they would just go like the Borg in Star Trek from city to city, and they would wipe out one place at a time, because they'd be able to transfer their losses to other cities they had already conquered. Mm-hmm. So you can't have the pure free hand. You can have almost the free hand. I love minimum government, but you must have antitrust. So what complicates the situation with deplatforming Parler, and I'm appalled about it, because I'm a Bill of Rights guy through and through, and this is terrible news for the Bill of Rights, terrible news for what defines America, because it's not, America isn't just some magic dirt, you know, it's not just a piece of soil mm-hmm. that we got lucky on, and any other. That's not the point. The point is the founding fathers.
They could have done it elsewhere. You know, it was done here, though. Yeah.
They were the smartest guys in the room, and they did an amazing job, you know, and that gets me off on another rant we don't have time for today. But the hubris of children that know nothing, that think they can just ignore all of human history and not even look at human history and just redesign things from scratch and think they'll get it right. Nobody gets it right.
Yeah.
The reason everybody wants to come here is we're like one of the few places that got it right. Maybe the only place that got it this right. But the problem with what happened to Parler is that not only is a monopoly, mm-hmm. but it's a protected monopoly because of the Communications Decency Act, because of the protections they have. And so and as you know, I lived in communist China right after Mao, right after the Cultural Revolution. So I saw how bad things can get.
Yeah.
And the hallmark is what happened with Parler. And also the other hallmark, and I've studied a lot of the history of the USSR too in the Bolshevik Revolution. One of the hallmarks is when it goes really fast. You notice how fast.
Well, Bruce, and Bruce Sidlinger is with us, folks. It just seemed like, wow, Wednesday happened. Mm-hmm. Then by Thursday, Friday, the president of the United States is off Twitter, off Facebook, off social media. And then I'm like, oh my God, Friday night, maybe Saturday morning. I'm like, oh, Parler is being taken off these app stores, which is without being able to go on the Apple store or the, Google store, you know, for Android, right? You can't get these apps. So that takes out the smartphone and a tablet market for this company, Parler, which is like, if you don't know what Parler is, folks, it's like the alternative to Twitter that doesn't have this guy lauding over you saying you can post this, you can't post that, we're going to censor you, right? And you take away those things, you've taken away their ability. Then you say, wait a second, by the way, you're being your servers are based on Amazon Cloud, which I didn't know. That's where it's being host, Parler. You got 24 hours. We're cutting you off because you violated our terms. So you've got Facebook, Twitter, Google, Apple, Amazon, the big five saying, you're done.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, one of the reasons why I'm talking kind of fast today is that I don't know if you're going to be deplatformed before the end of this show, Jeff.
Well, at least, FM, we're good to go. But that is, there are FCC guidances and there's certain words we can and can't say, which is fine. But let's hope you and I aren't doing this like next year, by shortwave or telegraph.
There's a great scene. One of my favorite movies is The Strand, the Stephen King movie. And there's this amazing scene that I've shown you before with this radio broadcaster, like making her final broadcast, right? Yeah. As the stormtroops are coming up. But so I think, as you know, I've posted ever since the start of Facebook. And then before that, ever since the start of MySpace. And before that, ever since the start of AOL. And before that, ever since the start of Prodigy, I've always said that we've got to think, we've got to have the First and Fifth Amendments. You don't have anything without these amendments. And effectively, even though it's not the government that's suppressing the speech, although because of the Communications Decency Act, it gets complicated. You can almost say it's the government, right? And the internet is kind of almost the government because it was invented. I mean, I was right at the very beginning of the internet, as you know,
It was Al Gore, but go ahead.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? I have to give Al Gore that. He did do a lot of the funding. I mean, you have to hand a little bit to Al Gore, but it was Al Gore and a couple other guys that did it, right? So anyway, but I think I was the 16th entity on the internet, my company. It was like way, way back in those.
I saw that post. Was that, when was that, 90s?
In the late 70s. It was the national, it wasn't the internet yet because it wasn't internet protocol. It was originally DECnet, and okay. There was this and anyway, so again, that could be like in the weeds for days. But anyway, my point was going to be that these are almost quasi-governmental because it's not, here's how the government's involved. The government provides the right of ways. The government grants right of eminent domain for the fiber optic cables that run down. So you can't just do, unless you're Elon Musk, who can put up a satellite installation. Like, there's a guy that can do what he wants.
Yeah.
But you can't just go along the road and dig a new trench and lay down a new internet.
So the argument, though, Bruce, and Bruce Sidlinger's with me, folks, the argument that it's the free market, it's a private business. So Twitter, Jack Dorsey, or Facebook, Zuckerberg, what's his name? Whatever his name is, they it's a private company, and if they want to say, hey, to come into here, you have to abide by this, and we're going to cut you off. That's the argument that's being made. It's kind of like, hey, you want to come in my restaurant, you have to wear shoes, shirts, and shirt and shorts, whatever.
And,
right?
And I'm actually not as worried about the Facebook, Apple. Okay, so first of all, one thing I wanted to mention is you can still get the Parler app. Not that there's any servers to connect to, but you can still get the Parler app. Just for an Android device, just not through the Play Store. The Android is an open platform. The Apple phones are a closed platform. So you absolutely cannot get Parler on Apple, but you can still get Parler on Android.
And you can still get it through your browser. So you can
get it through the browser.
Yes.
So really, you see, I'm not that worried about Twitter. I'm not that worried about Facebook. I would say those guys can do what they want. I'm not that worried about YouTube because you can pay for Vimeo. It's better anyway. You know, it costs a few bucks. In fact, you know, one of the things I've always told kids I educated is I say nothing's free. Well, we're starting to see now what free costs, right?
Pay for Vimeo? Yeah.
Twitter, yes. Twitter was free. You know, all these things were free, right? But the cost of free is freedom, it turns out, right? Mm-hmm. But here's what worries me. you can, Parler can still even have servers. Like right now, Parler is a little building in Henderson, Nevada with a few employees. They use cloud services, but they can go buy, they need to buy about 300 or 400 server computers, put them in about 20 racks, get heavy power, get a bunch of air conditioning, and they can get back online mm-hmm. as long as they can get an internet server service provider to allow them to connect. See, that's the rub. You know, they have to get Sprint or AT&T or somebody to give them a connection.
Let me ask you about that, because is that the next step? Because I always say, hey, go to talkwithjeff.com, my website, because that's my website. But however, I have someone else is providing the server. And you and I are talking right now and we're doing video, and folks, you can like me on YouTube as long as I'm still there, or subscribe. But you mentioned connecting the person that provides the bandwidth, the internet connection. So whatever that may be. For me right now, it's Suddenlink. Is that you as well?
So you have three. I've got several connections because, you know, my buildings in town are fiber fed. They're one of the few fiber facilities in town.
Okay,
so,
but that's the highway. What if there's a lot of places that you can only get one? There's only one road going in, shall we say? So isn't it a utility almost in that area? Go ahead.
Yes, it's a gray area, because on one hand, Suddenlink benefits from government protection because they're able to condemn land and dig a trench and run fiber. So on one hand, it's a public utility. On the other hand, I'm guessing you signed terms and conditions when you got your Suddenlink service.
Check.
And it's probably time to go look at those terms and conditions, because they probably have the ability to cut you off based on content.
But wait, I can't change those. Good luck me, the little guy, against these giants. I can't say, hey, I'm not going to sign this. They're going to say, okay, we won't provide service. So they got me. I can't tell them, here's a letter from my lawyer. You modify these terms. I don't think they'll listen.
Right. So here's the descending. I'll give you the descending order of the increasing order of vulnerability.
Okay.
The very least problem is, I hope that phone quits ringing. The very least problem.
Maybe it's Jack Dorsey or Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Zucker? Mark Zucker. They're cutting you off. Go ahead, Bruce. Go ahead, Bruce.
The very least problem is the Google Play Store not carrying the app. That's the minimum problem, because you can just go download the app. Look, I don't care particularly about Parler, although Parler is the first victim. But you can go to Parler.com, if Parler.com existed still, which it doesn't today, and you can click on a link and download the Android app. Mm-hmm. So that's the least problem. The next biggest problem, or the next least problem, is that the app is not on the Apple Store.
Okay.
And so what you have to do there is you have to use your browser to go to Parler.com, if Parler.com exists. The next problem is that Amazon took the cloud services away.
Mm-hmm.
And it pains me, you know, as you know, I look at left-wing and right-wing media equally. I try to be in the middle. And I've given thousands of dollars to the Washington Post over, decades. And I feel like the Washington Post has done good work. I feel like we need a fifth estate to keep our union good. But it pains me to realize that it's essentially the Washington Post that turned off Parler, right? Same guy.
Oh, yeah. Bezos. Yeah. Yeah.
So because there you've got a weird situation that essentially Parler competes with Washington Post, right? Parler competes with Twitter. Parler competes with Facebook. Mm-hmm. Parler competes with Apple. I mean, it's you know, that adds another element to this, of an unfair competition kind of element. But anyway, the next biggest problem is, or the third least important problem is that Amazon took the web servers away.
Okay.
But there are other companies that do that. But even more importantly, for instance, if I had done Parler, I would never have done it in the cloud to begin with, because I don't know if you know, but I wrote one of the very first ever peer-reviewed papers on computer security, and I've worked for decades as a computer consultant for the DoD and companies and NASA. And the first thing I always tell people is, I say the cloud is just somebody else's computer, right? The cloud is just somebody else's computer.
It's
so
not,
the cloud is a terrible idea.
It's not in the cloud. It's a wire running or whatever to a computer somewhere. Okay.
And you could, and why not have that computer on your own premises, right? And so it's, Parler can get a bigger building, install computers the way I would have done it to begin with, and have their own years.
Let me ask you this real quick before we move on. That obviously you can do that. So the workaround and the advice for companies at this point, especially if you're a parlor and you're renting computer space off of your competitor, essentially Amazon, not exactly, but like you said, they're all linked together.
It's just like a newspaper. It's like a newspaper in Washington. What's the Washington? Is there a Washington newspaper that is counter to the Washington Post?
Yes, there is, and I can't remember the name of it because Washington Post is one of the big ones. But what I'm saying is advice. Okay.
Let's imagine that there was a small newspaper that tended to oppose Washington Post, but they went to Washington Post and saying, "Hey, we oppose you, but we can't afford printing presses, and so can we rent time on your printing presses?"
Yeah.
How vulnerable would you be?
Good analogy. So if you're going to be in this business, you better have your own infrastructure, or at least lease from a friendly company. But that could change anytime. Business alliances shift, and so on and so forth. So you got to get your own service. But Bruce, they were given 24 hours. They can't, you know, they ain't going to pop in hundreds of servers and get this up and running that quick.
Yeah, they could have read the terms and conditions, right? There's a funny South Park about that.
Yeah, could they quickly get their own servers and fire it up, or is it a long process?
I work for telcos, and if you just have to respond to it like there's a hurricane, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say a week. I mean they could be slightly online right away. Like, I think probably they should have one server where you at least go and get a return. They should just have a server displaying parlor.com will be back in a week. Right now it's a dead page. They should at least make the page alive.
And I'm going there right now, Bruce.
What does it say?
And it just says network error.
Network error. Yeah. Right. So with almost one computer, I mean, they're going to get millions of hits, so it'd probably collapse. But with almost one computer, they could just have a page, even with a line of text, not even a photo, because a photo requires bandwidth. But they could probably put up on one line of text saying, "Parler, we're still alive. We'll be back in a week." Just pure text is extremely efficient. One or two computers, they could have that up today.
Yeah, as a backup.
And then I would say,
okay, hang on, hold on to this final one, okay? Because I got to take a quick break. We're talking with Bruce Sidlinger. I want to get your, and then I want to kind of wrap this topic up as far as what's maybe constitutional, what's not constitutional here in this, and then we want to get into the constitution a little bit more. And folks, if you got a comment, chime in on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. Hang tight, more with Bruce Sidlinger, back in a minute. All right, folks, welcome back here with businessman, investor, and machinist, and he's getting pretty dang good. We got a video coming up, and we'll narrate that video for everyone listening of his Terminator looking machine. Now I'm getting scared, Bruce. There's a Terminator loose in Flagstaff. You're like grinding little parts. We're gonna get to that video, but we're talking about Parler and the troubles they're having and what they should maybe do. And is this even constitutional, or is it maybe constitutional is not even the right word, but is it an antitrust issue? And, you know, Bruce, these antitrust laws came into effect. I'm thinking back to like Standard Oil, Carnegie Steel, where they were just swallowing and devouring. Are we at that point? And you just laid out a couple of items. Hey, they should, there's workarounds to still get it. You can go through your browser, et cetera, et cetera. And the biggest advice here so far is, if you're a parlor, you probably want to have your own servers, and maybe all of us are going to need to do that unless we want to wind up going to ham radio at some point. But what else do you say about this whole situation with the speech issues, First Amendment issues? Is there First Amendment issues?
Right. So to recap, as I was enumerating the vulnerabilities, right? Mm-hmm. The smallest problem is Google Play Store quits carrying you. The next biggest problem is the Apple Store quits carrying you. There are easy workarounds to both. The third big problem is your cloud servers are taken away with no notice. That's bad. And that's definitely an example of not reading the terms and conditions.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that 24 hours was in the terms and conditions, right? That we can turn you off in 24 hours. Now you get to the really big vulnerabilities. What if there's only one internet service provider that feeds your location, feeds your servers? And what if that internet service provider won't carry your content? Mm-hmm. That's a big problem. Now, again, you know, I feel like big boys should anticipate all the possible consequences. And I've had, I was one of the first internet service providers in the country. And I never had a single vulnerability. I had like half a dozen backhauls, like different providers. And I had, I remember I paid a fortune for one line to go from San Antonio, Texas, all the way to Stockton, California, where there was an internet peering point that meant nobody was above me. A peer means you're at the highest level and there's no authority above you.
Okay.
So I've actually been on the internet with no higher authority. However, all of the big guys like Sprint colluded and kind of wiped out that peering. So you, so there's always a higher authority now, but at least in this country.
Well, and Bruce, real quick, if I wanted to start the next parlor, I mean, there's no way I'm putting all that infrastructure in. I could have my own servers, but the point of the bottleneck, the single possible point of failure, could be that infrastructure, the pipeline leading in.
And then there's an even higher one. You can get around that because you can always put a server in another country. I mean, who cares where the server is, right?
Okay.
If you had a relative, in Budapest, you can just put a server in Budapest.
Okay.
The biggest problem of all is your domain name could be turned off or it could be filtered. It probably wouldn't be turned off, but every provider has a blocking list because a lot of domains are just evil. They're, you know, they have to do with crime and they have to do with spam.
Sure.
And they have to do with it. So if you, and this blocking list, there are, as an, let's, so I'm still an internet service provider. I go and download a blocking list. I don't maintain my own. I download one of the popular blocking lists and it goes into my firewalls and that, then it protects all of my customers. I'm the only customer because I don't need customers anymore, but I used to have a lot of customers and my blocking list protected them. Well, if the blocking list that I download could easily have talkwithjeff.com in it.
Mm.
And then that would effectively break you because even though you'd still be in the internet, your customers would not see you because each customer's upstream provider would have blocked you.
How do you get around that? I get it.
There's one thing you can do about that. Which is, but at this point, you know, and remember, I'm not like, I don't want to think of myself as a right winger or a left winger. I'm just a constitutional libertarian. Like, I don't care about Parler. When I think of Parler, I don't think of Parler as being a right-wing platform. I think of Parler as being a First Amendment-friendly platform.
Okay.
Right? But the next thing I'm going to say is, it almost hate to say it because it's previously been in the world of like the dark web. But if you had your own IP address, and for instance, I have my own IP addresses, assigned, there's nobody above me with my IP addresses. I could give an IP address, and then even if my domain got blocked, my customers could type in 192.189.125, whatever, and they could get to me.
Yeah.
But still, that could be filtered. I mean,
yeah. I remember that used to be a way you got to a lot of places. That was
People didn't. I was on the internet for quite a while until I got Sidlinger.com.
Yeah, and people don't remember that, and people, you know, now have just the devices and things like that. So okay, Parler's got to figure out. Go ahead. Because it goes back to this thing real quick. It goes back to this pipeline issue, though. It seems like that's a utility. And who gets to judge this, I guess, is the problem I have. Who gets to judge that this group gets to be on there and this group doesn't? We hear people saying that about Twitter. You know, go ahead. It just, you know, that's just scary.
If I had been a Supreme Court justice dealing with the First Amendment, yeah, and you know, I am Mr. Slippery Slope. I wouldn't have even done the famous yelling fire in a crowded movie theater exception. I would have just said words by themselves are never criminal. Hmm. Any words, anytime, said to anybody, by anybody, because as soon as you say fire in a crowded movie theater, you get to this.
Yeah.
You get to, well, somebody could hear fire and then act stupidly and crush somebody else. Well, somebody could hear once you've started on that slippery slope, a single exception, if there's one banned word, you get to this because then there's no end of it. There's no end to it. If there's a single banned word or a single banned circumstance for speech, you've inevitably ruined free speech.
And perhaps are some people on the right because my good friend Elisha, who's kind of moved on from politics, we used to talk about this a lot. He's saying conservatives don't ban this word or this word because eventually it's going to come around. Is it coming around now in your opinion?
It always comes around. Well, it always comes around. Just ask Kim Jong-un's uncle, right? I mean, once you get a totalitarian state, it gets around to everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It finally gets around to everyone.
Yeah.
So everybody loses. With With big government, with limited power, everybody loses eventually.
A lot of lessons here, for sure, especially when it comes to the First Amendment, but especially putting all your eggs in one basket. People are switching. I opened a MeWe account. I have a Parler account. But who's to say that those are going to be any good later? I think relying on social media in general is probably a bad idea.
The problem with the workarounds we talked about, the problem with FM radio or putting a pirate radio station on a boat beyond the 12-mile territorial limit.
Which we're not advising. We're not giving you advice to go do that, but go ahead.
I mean, that's not illegal. I mean, it might be illegal based on international treaties about frequency.
Maybe, yeah. We don't know.
But the problem with all these things is you can do them, but you go from, what is it? The president had 88.5 million followers on Twitter. And lots of other people, like, I don't know if you're up to anywhere close to that number yet, Jeff, yourself. The problem is that you've lost. At the point that you say, okay, use this IP address, you know, or whatever, you've lost, because you go to 1% or 0.1% of the followers. If it's not easy, nobody's going to connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Bruce Sidlinger is with me, folks. And let's switch gears a little bit. Maybe we'll get into some more constitutional issues, but I do want to hit on this because last time you're on, we never did. And one thing that I think is really cool that you've been doing, Bruce, and that a lot of people should be doing during this time period, besides organizing your garage and your closets and stuff like that, which is just trying to expand. If anything is more prevalent now, it's you got to know how to do stuff. You got to always be learning new stuff. Unlike what the politicians say, don't, you know, just sit around and watch Netflix. I mean, I get it. We all have our diversions, but trying to be ready and trying to learn as much as possible. And you have decided to, and I want to pull up the video here. You wanted to get into being a machinist, and why? What's you don't have to do this kind of stuff, I imagine, Bruce. What was the kind of impetus behind this?
I've always been self-reliant, right? Mm-hmm. I'm so self-reliant that this started because I grew up in rural Oklahoma. My parents were involved with the circus, and I remember, I don't know the age. But I was flying planes. I soloed an airplane at 15. I was in college at 15. So it's probably not unreasonable to say this was like at 10, 9 or 10. I taught my parents to just leave me alone for the summer. I said, look, leave me at the cabin for the summer. I've got a chainsaw. I can cut wood. I've got 22 shot I had a kid's Browning 22, and I put shot in it to kill copperhead snakes. And I could fish, and I just was self-reliant.
Yeah.
I just feel like part of being a human is you should at least be as self-reliant as a raccoon, right? I mean, you should be able to live without the assistance of other humans. And so kind of the extreme case of self-reliance, the extreme pushback against any feeling of powerlessness with the pandemic is to have a mill, because what makes a mill magical is that when I got this mill, I said, what is this mill made on? And they said, this is what made this. Mills make mills, mills and lathes.
Big mills make other mills.
The same size mill can make a mill. And so the point is the company that made this mill said, yeah, we got the same thing. That's how we made your mill on the same thing.
Well, I got the video. I got a video here on the screen, and we're going to narrate. Let me pause it for a second, but we're going to narrate this.
Yeah. I'll just narrate. Maybe I can get some of your viewers interested. You know, I'm all about education. Maybe some kid will decide to be a machinist because
so you've got this thing that looks all automated, and I you say a mill can make a mill. Has it become self-aware here? But go ahead, describe this for our listeners too.
So the first thing you saw is it has an automatic tool changer. It holds 50 tools. Now it's turning on coolant, and now it's using what's called a face mill or a shell mill to scrape the top off of a cube of aluminum, because basically a mill whittles metal, steel, tool steel, titanium. Now it's changing tools again. And the first thing we did was we flattened the top of this little cube. Now we're going to go down, it's a small picture, but now we're going to go down, turn on the coolant again, and we're going to go around and make the sides of the cube accurate. And incidentally, when I say accurate, we're talking about 0.2 of an inch. And so that means within, that means 15 times smaller than the diameter of a human hair.
Wow.
Is the accuracy. So now we're going and now we're cutting a groove around the side of it. This is called a dovetail. So we did a tool change again. We've got the coolant on again. It's quite a show in person.
And when you do a tool change, and folks, talkwithjeff.com, the video is up there. You're not going, Bruce isn't going there doing it. This is all programmed in computers.
All right. There's a huge wheel that weighs a couple thousand pounds and it holds 600 pounds of tools. And the tools are things like drill bits, you know. So, so it just finished doing that. Now watch this. There'll be another tool change coming up. There's taking the old tool out and it's putting in... Oh, I think now we're going to go down and do some. Yeah, look at this. This is very cool. Watch this part. Now it's going to use all five axes and it's going to put a 45 degree chamfer along the edge of this block. So this is what makes
it. Twisting it and beveling while it's cutting it, right? Or grinding.
Now here's a fun tool. That's a fan. It's blowing the coolant off. So you'll see the fan retract. So that was the last thing in this little video.
Yeah.
That's even a fan to clean the coolant off.
It's incredible stuff. I got to get over there and see this in person. I don't know what you made there. Is this like the cube from like Transformers? The, well, is this the AllSpark?
Yeah, that's just like a little calibration cube. But I mean, I just want to talk again about the accuracy. So here's the accuracy of that. Like I said, it's if you measure it, and I've got really precise measuring tools, I can measure and I can say, yes, this is accurate. This is according to the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Within 0.2 of an inch, in other words, to within 1/15 the diameter of a human hair.
Yeah.
That's how accurate it is. Another analogy, because it's very hard for people to wrap their minds around how accurate it is, but if you had an old-fashioned analog wristwatch, then if you looked at the tip of the hour hand, remember the hour hand, the amount of movement of that hour hand in 1 second is the accuracy of this mill.
Wow.
That tiny amount that an hour hand would move in 1 second. Because bear in mind, it takes a whole hour to just go around an inch.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah. Well,
1 second per hour is how accurate this is.
And I think it's really cool, Bruce. And folks, go to talkwithjeff.com. You can check it out. Because like I said, I think one of I don't do resolutions really, but focuses this year has been to try to get away from Washington, D.C. and or any of these politicians, you know, and that they're the center of our universe. And if we could just get back, look, most people aren't going to go buy a mill and, you know, create they look like metal dice you're creating. Can you create me a metal set of dice, right? But there's so
anything you've ever seen made out of metal can be done in either a mill or a lathe.
Well, actually, can you make, I have this old growy faucet I can't find a seat for. Can you do round parts and things like that?
Well, the lathe is better for that. If you could just have one thing, you'd want a mill, but if you could have two things, you'd want a mill and a lathe.
Okay, I'm going to drop this off.
Lathe is better at round things.
Because growy said they don't make the part anymore. But anyway, a whole other story there. My point being it, though, and as we wrap it up, Bruce, people need to get out. We need to be doing this stuff. And the fact that, you know, maybe you can't get an app, and I'm holding up my device here, my iPhone, you can't get an app to get on your social media or this. It begs the question of why are we on there so much? Get out there and do stuff. I think that's what our country needs. And we need to start just not putting these politicians and all these people up on such high pedestals and just do stuff like this. Final thoughts, Bruce.
I'll tell you one of my most important tricks for life. And I don't know, I'm sure some adult told me this when I was really little, but starting at maybe age 7 or 6, as soon as I don't know at what point you can write, I started a daily log, and all of my employees I've indoctrinated to do this as well over the years. At the end of every day, I wrote down what I accomplished. And if you do that, no matter what, do or die, even if it's just a sentence, and the worst days are when I wrote down, accomplished nothing, wasted the day, right? And you only have to write that down a couple of times before you realize the tragedy of that, the tragedy of just waking up and staying in your house clothes and watching TV and eating TV dinners and going to sleep. That's a tragedy. So one of the things that people, and one other thing I was going to mention is, you know, society, we're over-specialized, right? I mean, everybody has a narrow specialty, and here I am, pretend machinist, pretend constitutional lawyer, actual pilot, you know, pretend car racer, all these things that I do either at a journeyman level, or I try to at least not be a dilettante with anything. But you just can't waste a day. Keep a daily log, even if it's just one sentence. Just commit to that.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's good advice. All right, Bruce, I look forward to having you back on. I appreciate all this. I'm going to get there to see that mill soon. And keep it up. I really
want to do a Bill of Rights segment. You know, this is my hobby. Bill of Rights is my hobby. So we got to do that.
Yeah, we usually plan on doing one thing on the show, and we get to half of it, and then we carry it forward. So
next time, remind me.
We'll do that. All right, Bruce, appreciate it.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.